This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
I missed this talk on Thursday. I was out with a case of the green apple splatters because of some really sketchy, quote-unquote, beef and broccoli. But you guys had a talk about pulling people over. What was the gist? Getting pulled over, pulling people over?
Yeah, we were talking about jackass drivers and people weaving throughout traffic, and I said, I've always wanted in those situations to be a traffic cop and be able to pull them over, because it's got to be so, or at least I think, or thought, it's got to be so satisfying to pull these jackasses over.
Like the guy that like tears off the line at a green light, like he's trying to do a drag strip qualifying.
Right.
And yeah. I've seen that before. I've seen dudes get just, they gun it. I mean, they'll almost just spin wheels and kick up a cloud, and then 100 yards later you pull up and they've been pulled over by a cop, and I'm thinking, how satisfying is that you got to pull this jackass over?
You think, but I mean, it was a very mixed response from the callers that we got.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like...
Well, who was calling? People that pulled people over?
Yeah, we had a lot of cops calling.
Cool.
And we had a lot of, you know, family members of cops text in, and they're like, look, man, like, the whole thing is, you have, like, it's kind of like that hero scenario that we all play through our heads. It's very similar, like the pulling over scenario, and Mike's like, tap on the window with my gun.
Jesus Christ.
But, like, you don't know who's in there, man. Like, just tonight, or, it's on tonight, right? Fridays and Saturdays. Well, just watch an episode of Live PD where they're, like, walking up to these cars with cops. It's like, you don't know what the hell's going on in there, man. You don't know. Mm-mm. You don't know if it's a person speeding because it's like a soccer mom that's got a bad case of the trots.
Yep.
Or if it's a guy that's fleeing the scene of a murder or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
You got to keep your distance. Got to keep your space. I said, did anybody say this, Mike? Because I remember we discussed this lightly the day before you guys talked about it. That if I was a cop, my move, I'm not going to be tapping on the window with my revolver, but I would pull them over and then just sit in my cruiser for like 10 minutes and let them sweat it out. Because I've been pulled over plenty of times, and nothing clenches my back end more than, like, why are you taking so long to get out of your cruiser? Did you find something with my license plate? Yeah. Is my insurance expired? Is my license expired? Do I got warrants out for me? The longer you take to walk up to my car, the more I think I've effed up.
God, the scariest part, too, is when they're sitting in the car, they have the spotlight on you, so you can't really see them.
Mm-mm.
But then you see the spotlight break. So you know they just walk past it.
Oh, it's go time. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Good evening, officer. How are you doing this evening?
Yeah, my legs go numb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really get pulled over all that much, but I remember specifically one time I had a car full of buddies. I was in the 88 Jetta cruising around Bethpage, and we're going in one direction, and we pass a cop going the other direction, and he immediately makes a U-turn.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, legs are going numb.
What have I done?
Legs are going numb.
Oh, God, does anyone have pot? Does anyone have pot? Does anyone have pot? Throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Well, hear about it now. I've had a discussion on Behind the Curtain, getting pulled over, pulling people over.
Mike Anderson.
Yes.
We got into this one way or another the other day.
Yeah, yesterday. Keith was talking about how he drives like a maniac.
Well, no, he said he's a bad driver.
Right. I think he implied that he speeds.
I speed. I will say this, though. I was coming home from Halloween on Tuesday from Locust Point all the way up around the Beltway. And I'll drive faster than the speed limit most of the time. But if there's a lot of cars and there's nowhere to go, you just have to, you know, succumb to that and just kind of drive. There was four or five cars that were kind of like racing, and they did that whole like zoom up past, God. And then they do that weave in and out where they're just splitting the seams, and then they like go off into the distance. And I'm convinced I'm going to see brake lights in a cloud of dust, and it never happens.
Or you wait for those, like, look in your rear view for some red and blue lights coming flying up behind you, or you pray for that.
Because on the schedule it says, what's it like to pull someone over? So we're casting a very small net here if we're opening up the phone lines, because I guess we're looking for people who have the authority to pull someone over, which would be law enforcement.
Somebody who's dreamt of pulling someone over and what they would envision that to
because
be.
Because that's what Mike is doing here. He's dreaming and envisioning what it would be like to pull over one of those jackass a-holes who is just out there on the roadways acting like a jerk, right?
Yeah, give us your dream, Mike.
Yeah, well, my dream would be in an undercover cop car. I'm driving an all-black Crown Vic, or maybe one of those, like, Ford. They drive Ford Explorers, I think, too. Yeah, give me one of those all-black, and I see one of these jackasses, just like you did, coming flying up behind me on 83, weaving in and out of traffic, yep. No turn signals, not even checking their mirrors. I'll notice that, too. They don't even care. It's just like they just pull into the next lane without even looking, like they have a death wish. And every time I see this, I'm like, God, I would kill to be a cop right now and just be able to turn my lights on, pull this jackass over, walk up to that window, tap my gun on their window to open it up.
That's not what they do.
That's not what you do.
Well, I've gone rogue at this point. I'm a rogue cop.
That's not how it works.
A la Dirty Harry. yeah. And just see the fear of God in their eyes as I come up to their window and
you're
slap them with the
book. You're also assuming that they would fear that because it doesn't always go down that way. Don't always work that way.
I guess.
It don't always work that way.
Yeah, you're way off base here, Mike. When a cop is pulling someone over, I don't want to say they're terrified, but they are very, very on guard.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be.
They're not feeling this sense of, I'm going to make things right. They're like, okay.
I need to make sure.
Yeah, I got to protect myself.
I don't know who's in this car. I don't know what's in this car. I don't know who, yeah.
Every time I see a police car stopped in the middle of the night, I always think it's dangerous. It's a dangerous job any time of day.
Oh, God.
But I can't imagine the fear going up to this car.
Totally random car.
Yeah, at night.
At night, you don't know who's in there. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what this person's up to. You don't know what their record is. You don't know if it's just a soccer mom who's rushing because she's got diarrhea, or it's a guy who's been drinking, or it's a drug dealer. Like, you have no idea.
Right. But, I mean, you got to think, if you've joined the force, that part of, you have to enjoy justice and delivering justice. And you also kind of probably enjoy a little bit of danger, too. I mean, obviously, you don't want to risk your life, but, you got into a dangerous job.
I think about, like, the movie The Hurt Locker, where, he's somewhere where there's this testosterone and adrenaline. It's coursing, and then all of a sudden you're back and you're buying, milk. So, yeah, I mean, police officers who have to engage. I even think about bouncers. How many times are you in a fight in your life? Once or twice?
Yeah.
These guys, this is happening, every, at least, for a police officer, once a day probably. There's something, some high, tension moment.
Yeah. Mike Anderson has fantasy of what it would be like.
And really,
driving down the road, you see one of them jackasses doing the thing jackasses do, swerving in and out, whatever, acting like an idiot. And then you're in the undercover car, and they don't know you're there, and you flip on the lights, and you pull them over, and you enforce the law. That's what somebody said, yeah. Mike. Cops don't, they don't get justice. They just enforce the law. Justice
right, but
comes
it, the,
from
the justice process starts
has
there.
Has started there. And I guess it could be, yeah. Let's see what you mean.
The cops write the tickets, and then the judge obviously enforces them. But, like I said, it begins there with the police. God bless him.
Texter says, both my parents were cops for 30 years, just retired. They were glad to retire because the climate has changed so much. They were scared to pull people over because of how bad things are getting. You never know who you're going to pull over and how bad things are going to be in the car. They've both been shot at but never returned fire. I'm telling you, man, walking up to the car is, you're not like walking up there like, yeah, I'm going to get this guy for speeding. It's more of like, man, I got to make sure I go home tonight.
When they walk to the car, don't they have to have their hand on their weapon as they walk
and
up?
Like, it's weird because I don't want to sound like an idiot, and I don't know any of the protocol, and I don't know anything. But like I said, I watch live PD now, and when they, like Spiegel said, it's nighttime.
Terrifying.
I'm on the couch, and yes. I'm terrified. And I'm at home at the safety of my home, and I'm terrified for these cops. I'm like, oh, my God. And then you see some of them approach like the passenger side to like catch them off guard. Like, it's...
Not Mike. Guys, I can't wait to run up there. Knock on the window.
Obviously, they became cops because part of this was attractive to them. And also, you hear, too, a lot of times when people run from the cops, they say they get legitimately angry that they're running from them. And that's got to fuel, them to pursue, obviously.
Yeah. Somebody says I was on ride along and someone was weaving in and out of traffic, being an a-hole, flying up the shoulder. And he was on the ride along. The cop looked at him and smiled, flipped on the lights. It was an awesome feeling. My neighbor is a Howard County canine. I did a ride along a few weeks ago with him on a Friday night. He only works nights. I asked him if he still gets butterflies or nervous when he walks up to the car. He laughed. He said he doesn't even think about it anymore. So pretty interesting. We'll go to the phones. Line one, we have Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Pretty good.
You're a police officer.
Yes, I am.
So
in D.C.
break it down for us. Are we off base, on base? What goes
well,
down?
I think you're going to find when you start answering these phone calls with the other officers, when you start out, you're all gung-ho. You're like, you go back to the locker. Yeah, I pulled him over. He was doing this, that, and the other. Can you believe it? I've been doing this so long these days. I'm kind of like, yeah, of course he did.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, and over time, you asked about butterflies and everything. Over time, the biggest problem is you got to fight complacency. It's just like you've done how many traffic stops that didn't go bad, you know?
Did you ever have one that didn't go well?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I think everybody's had one of those. Guy had a gun. It was
a
DUI.
Jeez. I can't wait to find that guy.
Right. Well, actually, those are the ones that you're happy with afterwards. You know, you're like, all right, the traffic stop in. I got a good arrest out of it. You know,
you ever stop a woman and she offers to give you a favor to get out of?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Right, have a good one.
Let's go to Jess from South Carolina. Thank What's God. Up, Jess?
Yeah, hey.
Ooh. Hey.
Hi, Josh.
Hi.
You're the only reason I listen down here.
God.
Screw us again.
The only way I listen to you.
That's very nice, but God, please don't say that. God, that puts me in a tough position.
But why are you in South Carolina?
I married a guy in the Navy, and he got stationed down here.
How long have you been down there?
For 1 year.
Does it suck?
No, actually, it's warm, and I have a palm tree in my yard, and I have a pool. It's great. I love it. I mean, I miss the people back home. Yeah. I miss Josh, but at least I get to listen on the app.
Thank you so much.
You miss Josh.
Very nice.
And the Zaxby's chicken down there, too.
It says here something about your grandfather. What happened now?
Yeah, it was back in the 70s, so it's a while ago, but it's something that he was very proud of. There was a guy that would speed up and down the street. They lived in Ferndale, not too far away from the airport.
Wow.
And one day he was coming home from work, and he was head-to-head with the guy speeding, and he cut him off and ripped him out of the car and drug him down to his lawn, put him down, you know, held him down and called to my grandmother and said, call the cops, and he actually was arrested.
You, your grandfather?
No, not my grandfather, the guy that was speeding.
But the screen says, I guess your grandfather was considering what he had done was a citizen's arrest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I understand this. This guy was speeding. Your grandfather accosted this guy and falsely imprisoned him, and the guy was arrested?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good old days.
I don't think you can do that nowadays, but back then, I guess it was kosher.
All right, thanks for the call. Enjoy South Carolina. The old citizen's arrest. You don't hear about that every day. Let's go to Ron in Abingdon. What's up, Rob? What's up, Rob?
Morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. You used to be a cadet?
Yes, sir, I was.
And go ahead.
I used to help out officers when it came to traffic stops or if it was accidents and intersections or something, and it was definitely something else when you go and experience a traffic stop for your first time. And when I went on, I was 18 years old. You know, you got some guys on the force who are, you know, oh, it's no big deal, and you got other guys who are still extremely serious, and they've got years upon years on the force, and you just never know what you're going to get with it. You could have the nicest person in the world, or you could have someone's ready to pull a gun on you.
Right. And you said it was terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying. For instance, short story, my dad's a lieutenant in Baltimore City, and I went on a ride along with him, and he's being a cop as he normally is because that's his attitude, but we were going on 95 heading into the city, and this guy cut him off, and I was just swerving like nobody's business, and it was just absolutely terrifying. He's like, we're going to pull over this guy.
Oh, God.
And he flips on the lights, and I'm scared out of my mind. I'm like, I don't want anything to happen to me. I don't want anything to happen to my dad. And turned out it was just a NYPD officer trying to speed his way to BWI.
Right. And did he let him go because he was a former fellow officer?
Yeah, but he was upset with him big time.
All right. Thanks for the call. One more quick one. Jeff, line one. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Shoot away. What questions do you have?
You're a police officer, correct?
Yes, sir. 23 years active.
And the screen here says something about the fear factor that's involved.
Yeah, I mean, by nature, your car stops are your most dangerous ones. And depending on where you're doing them, like if you do them up on the highway, you know, you're worried about the traffic around you.
Yeah.
Is somebody going to pay attention to the lights and plow into the back of your car? You know, why is that person speeding? Is it because they got to go to the bathroom, or is it because they just finished shooting somebody?
That's exactly,
you know, it's
what
the
I
whole
said.
I know when you walk up to the car.
So just is Mike off base with his fantasy here of, you know, wanting to pull over this speeder and inflict justice on them? And
it's not so much justice. I mean, it's just if you see a blatant violation, you know, you pursue it and you stop it. But for me personally, honesty goes a long way. If I come up to the vehicle, you know, do the routine, license registration, and you're very honest with me, you're just going to get the check and a warning, you know, on your way, you know. But it's when you sit there and say, well, I wasn't speeding. I didn't cut five cars off.
Yeah.
I do this every day, dude. I'm trained. I see what I see. You know, then you're going to get the little reminder that, no, you shouldn't do that. But, for the most part, traffic stops are pretty dangerous, and I don't know a lot of police officers that really do enjoy doing them or get off doing them.
Yeah. What do you say when you approach your car? Do you say license and registration, or do you say, do you know how fast you were going?
Or do you know why
I always introduce myself and say, you know, good morning, you know, hey. I'm Officer X, you know, with the, you know, X Police Department.
Right.
Do you know the reason why I stopped you? And then I always tell them, you know, I stopped you for, you know, illegal lane change, you know, and then I'll ask, you know, license and registration. And then, you know, the other part, too, that people don't realize is you know, then I got to go back to the vehicle. And I've got to run all the information.
Oh,
I'm on the computer.
We know.
You're going to take a long time back there.
For goddamn 40 minutes.
I know it doesn't take that long.
The whole issue is, you know, the person in the car. I got to keep an eye on the person in the car while I'm doing that. You know,
they'll
have guns under the seat. You know, who knows? There's a whole bunch of, your head's kind of on a swivel. You know, so it's not really the enjoyment you think. And then if it's a felony car stop, like say it's a stolen car, you know, and you got guns out, that changes the whole scenario altogether.
See, Mike? All right, thanks for the call. Be safe out there.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Saturday morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain. Coming up, we are going to discuss
having a hot wife or husband, for that matter.
Yes, the break about having a hot wife or spouse or man or husband or whatever that went horrifically wrong and got us called all misogynists. Because we hate women around here, apparently. That's what our coworkers choose to believe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really suffered from this. And I think it's something which he didn't really admit to when we did the break. But I think Justin suffers from this a little bit. Because I remember one time we had a discussion with Joe off air or something. And Justin was like, Joe, man, I don't know how you do it, man. And like, you date such a hot girl and then... You know, you walk in somewhere and everybody's looking at her and he's like, he goes, yeah, okay, so what? He's like, what's the other option? Like, do I date someone ugly just to avoid that? Like,
but that is, it's like, the Joe Robinson case is a good one though, because that's one where they're polar opposite ends of the spectrum where you have a super hot, young, youthful woman with, I mean, not to say Joe's ugly, but an older gentleman that's maybe not a male model by any means.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to a lot of levels to it. It has to do with the insecurity of the man. Like, I remember, you know, back when we first started dating, Chiquita and I, like, hanging out, I was super secure and it felt great. And maybe as time went on, you know, you feel a little less secure. And, you know, you think, maybe, you know, maybe you see a guy looking at her, maybe it bugs you a little bit more. But when you're first in that first, you know, visceral, really in love, super physical stage, almost nothing can touch you at that point. You feel like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, hear about it now. It's us talking about having a attractive significant other and it causing problems in relationships. 90 Rock.
That time of year, everyone can let their freak flag fly. You get that shut-in that all of a sudden is dressed up like a sexy Hoda. You get your boyfriend, who's usually pretty conservative, but he wants to be a extra slutty Bobby Flay. Ooh, look at that cut of meat. Is that bone in? I hope it is. If not, I can help with that. You have a hot significant other. Do you find it to be difficult? Do you find it to be something you brag about, a point of pride? Like thinking to yourself, oh, God, here we go again. I'm going to go out tonight. There's going to be all kinds of people out at Canton, Fells, Towson, Glen Burnie, Annapolis, wherever.
Hey, baby! Hey, baby, get rid of that man, baby! Hey, baby!
If you think that way or that annoys you, then you probably shouldn't be with that person.
I mean, it's not your fault that they're doing it, right?
But it has to be a line.
It's got to be. After a while, it's got to wear on you. Well, there's some people that relish it, dude. There's different types of people.
Yeah, definitely.
You know our boy, John O. Whoa. He loves just kicking the light fantastic with that honey of his. He loves having people gaze and glaze.
Have you ever been out in public and caught some guy, you know, taking a peek at your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
Wife?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it.
Just looking away is what looks to be five of the nine members of the Woo gazing at Buck. I'll just be over here making a Sammy.
Yes, or like, yeah, you'll be walking behind him into a bar or something, and you can just see all the heads start to turn.
That doesn't bother me. That makes me feel good.
Oh, gaze all you want.
But they're all looking at the person that I'm going home with. Look all you want. At the end of the night, she's coming home with me.
What if they start getting all aggressive? They don't give a damn.
What are we talking about
here?
That's
what we're talking about. That's part of it. You got some hot significant other. You got guys out there you know have zero scruples. They don't care who you come walking in with.
I mean, they can get her into fist fights.
They can get her away from you if they want. They know. They're so confident that, yo, you give me a chance, baby. If your man's a headache, I'll be an aspirin girl.
Does that happen often? Because, I don't think I've ever really...
You've never seen somebody like blatantly hit on someone that's obviously with someone else?
It never happened to me, really.
It's never happened to you. Okay. Yeah, I know it's happened. It's happened with exes of mine. I know. Or the one ex. With this? With a pow! Yeah.
What'd you do?
Oh, yeah. Just was like, all right, bud. All right. Move on, bud. Move on. You let me know, girl. Let me know when you get tired of him. I'm like, all right. Jeez. What am I going to do? This dude's like 6'4". I'm going to go and get up in his ass, and next thing you know, right. I'm going to be in traction. I'm like, all right. But at that point, you feel like a bitch. Your night's ruined.
I'm not trying to throw cold water on this whole thing, but I don't feel like a bitch because I'm not going to... What is fighting anybody? Are you supposed to be the guy to stand up and, you know what I mean, like, defend? I'm sorry. I'm not getting into a fist fight.
But you get guys that famously will do that. I made the reference yesterday when we were talking to Gallows and Anderson. We talked about his hot Asian wife, and he loved it. He loved, like, showing people Carl Anderson. Like, oh, yeah, dude, enjoy it. Drink it in. But then famously, the Macho Man Randy Savage, famous for this. There's tales told throughout wrestling. He was with that woman, Miss Elizabeth. If you looked at her sideways,
Elizabeth,
he'd bounce your head off of a brick wall.
I think that speaks to his insecurity, right?
Yeah. Because he just couldn't, he had trouble having a woman that was as beautiful and as coveted as her. And it made it difficult for the dude. Yeah, it speaks to his insecurities and the fact that she was like hot and coveted.
I'm a pussy. I don't know. I'm just like, if you know, he touches my woman or something like that, then I think you got to do what you
got
to do.
Well, you've also got the benefit
maybe
of having
an ass kick coming your way.
You got a woman that'll throw hands at the drop of a hat, too. I mean,
she can hold her own.
You got a spicy Latina who, hey, you put your hands on the merchandise.
She's defending herself.
Yeah, you're going to catch a blade, okay? I don't think either one of Mike and I's ladies are going to be suplexing anybody through a coffee table anytime soon.
Yeah, and I remember one time, like, we were getting ready to go grocery shopping, and she comes out with, like, some tight-ass yoga pants on. And normally I wouldn't care, but I'm like, the grocery store is ground zero for leering. Okay.
A lot of leering.
Mike knows, but from experience.
I know. I know. Trust me.
King Learer.
You're a King Learer.
And I said something, and she's like, nobody's looking. I'm like, are you that naive?
Yeah, do not be that naive.
They're looking at your ass.
Do not be that naive.
You don't have eyes back there.
You just put that thing on a platter.
Yeah.
And you're going to waltz around in a grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's a million different
angles. Aisles I didn't need to go down.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. So coming up,
I need nothing out of the international food aisle, but I'm walking down it. Because, whoa, what is that?
Ooh, flautas.
Having a hot significant other. I guess this goes both ways, too. There's a woman text in about her... text in about her significant other who works out an hour and a half each day. Man is an Adonis, and she loves him to death, but... You know, has a tendency to catch the ladies. Ladies looking.
Oh, yeah, I don't think this is just a hot girlfriend issue, even though I bet that's the vast majority. Rosie checks in, says, my ex once told me I was a chore to go out with in public because he felt like guys were always looking at me. Drew, guy walked by my girl once, clearly wasted, said, nice breasts, used a different word. She stared at him, looked back, made out with me. He walked away like a bitch. Oh, that attests to what you said, Scott. Look all you want. She's walking away with me, homie.
Yeah, I mean, it just has to deal with if you let it bother you.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
remember,
you choose not to let it bother you.
Friday, we were talking to Todd Heap, and I brought this very thing up because I noticed how many women at the stadium were just ripping his clothes off. It was unbelievable.
Oh, is that the genesis of this? Thank you, Mike, for reminding me that. Yeah, and he was talking about how Mrs. Heap ain't having that. Yeah. Feel free to take some photos, but if he walks by and you start squeezing on that buttery biscuit or his front door, she's going to say something, man.
Yeah.
That's got to be, think about that. Like, you know, hey, we're whoever. We have significant others. People do. But imagine being, like, married to someone that's mega famous, and you're just a whoever.
Right, and these women just think they can just do whatever they want.
Like, people are writing erotic fan fiction about your significant other. It you got to be like, okay, you got to have, I'd say, a thick skin. The only thing I had thick skins were the dinosaurs, and they're gone. But still, it's got to chip away at you a little bit, some way, down inside. Let's go to the phones. A lot of people holding. Justin, Danny, Mike, Pat, and Anna continue to hold. Let's go to Baltimore Joe. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing over there? Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Hi.
All right. A couple of years ago, I had some pretty decent girlfriends and stuff dressing around Halloween. Not really bothered by it. But last night, I went to a Halloween party, and a girl that I'm talking to, she got jealous of what I was wearing.
What?
Yeah, and all I was wearing was just a basketball jersey. She said my arms look too good.
Yeah, you got them guns out. Sun's nice. Out, guns out, baby boy. Yeah, because this is a perfect time of the year for that, because you're going to get people that are dressed maybe a little bit more scantily clad. Like, can you imagine, like, dude, FX Alex, 4% body fat. His abs have abs. You could grate cheese on his stomach. If he dressed like Leonidas from 300... And he's walking around like, I was like, oh, man, girls are going to squirt baby oil over that body. And me, let's go to line two, Justin in Catonsville. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, bud?
Yeah, no, so my girlfriend, I mean, I think she's pretty hot, and a lot of other guys have noticed that, too.
Yeah, she's a piece of ass.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, I've seen the looks, you know, if we're out at a bar or something like that, or kind of like Mike had said, the grocery store before. But the two that really, like, come to mind, there was one we were walking. It was actually our anniversary, so she was all dressed up or whatever. And this guy down the street just catcalled, like, "Woo, white dress." And, I mean, we just laughed. I mean, it was a compliment to her. I laughed, too, because I'm the one taking her out, so whatever. But then the other one was, I don't like confrontation. I'm quite a beta.
Me neither.
So we were waiting to go up in an elevator. And we were just kind of waiting for the elevator, and there were these other two guys, noticeably drunk at first. And we were both looking the other way, and then I look, and the one guy's pretending to hump my girlfriend, like, 3 feet behind her.
Oh, yeah, get some, kid.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Immediately, I'm like, I had never been in this situation before. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do right now? So I just immediately shoved the guy, you know, said some curse words. What the hell's wrong with you? He was visibly drunk. I didn't do too much. But, yeah, it was like.
Here's the thing. If you have a girlfriend who, like, expects you to do something like that, like, oh, why didn't you defend
me? Whip his ass, Scotty.
It's like, okay, that's one thing. But like I said, it all depends on whether you choose to let that bother you. You could just go, whatever. Yeah, okay, dude.
But I think once he puts his hands on her.
Yeah, well, he wasn't. He was 3 feet away from her, just mimicking a humping motion.
Yeah.
You just roll your eyes and go, okay, whatever, dude. I get to do it for real when I get home. Don't you wish you could?
Yeah, I get to be 3 feet closer.
There's a million ways you can handle these situations. And if you want to let yourself get all worked up, or if you have a woman that, like, you know, he said, what am I supposed to do? If you have a woman that, you know, expects you to go ahead and defend her, and then as a beta, you're going to get your ass kicked, then I guess that's what you got to do.
Mister, is there any way you can...
Hey. Oh, God! Go ahead. 410-338-1098. Let's talk. Oh, and by the way, if you're with some girl that wants you to fight, not like expects it, like, hey, that guy was disrespectful to me, you should say something. But if she goes out there, like, trying to do something to try and rile someone up so you've got to throw hands, get out of that situation, buddy. So there's less confrontational fish in the sea. Mike, excuse me, let's go to Danny, actually. Virginia, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Danny.
In Virginia.
Hey, check it out. I used to date this girl that was the spitting image of Sarah Palin. Gorgeous. And I've never been a jealous person. So one day we were in Target, and Wanda always dressed up. And this day, she was wearing a skirt.
Yeah.
And just above her knee.
Yeah.
So, and she also never, ever wore underwear. Never.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, keep going.
So, we're in Target, and there was a young dude, probably 15, 16, in a wheelchair. And he was there with a couple of his friends. So, Wanda walks over to the shelf and sees something. And I've never seen her do this before. She did this weird bend to pick it up, like a clockwork ballerina. Stiff-legged. So, when she bent over, you know, her left leg kind of went up in the air and lifted her skirt.
Oh.
And right away, I saw the kid's face, and I started laughing because I knew what was coming. He spun his head around so fast. He's like, oh, my God, dude, I just saw that woman's. And then I couldn't hear anymore because I was laughing so damn hard, you know.
So you seem to be, Danny, you seem to be the type of guy that when that kind of stuff happens, you get like your crunkish caveman guys like, look at my girlfriend. But meanwhile, you're just laughing at this because you're like, hey, you know what? Enjoy the sights, but don't touch.
That seems like a very extreme example, too. It was a teenage kid catching a glimpse of your girlfriend's vagina.
In a wheelchair.
Of course he freaked out.
Handicapped kid.
This isn't like a guy hitting on your girlfriend. He accidentally saw her vagina.
Yeah.
This is totally different.
But it's not like she showed it to him on purpose. And I'm 6'2", 300 pounds. I don't worry about too much, you know.
Yeah.
So
I worry about tell her to put on some underwear. How about that?
Yeah, tell her to stop going to Target Commando, homeboy. Honestly, I don't care what time of the year.
A little different.
Yeah, cover up the kitty, all right? You never know when there could be a kid in a wheelchair nearby.
A teenage kid in a wheelchair catching an accidental glimpse of your girlfriend's vagina in the shampoo aisle.
You like something over there in your
lazy
chair?
And he reacted. What the hell do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, of course you're going
to
say something.
Not like he walked up to her and was like, hey, I got some stuff that'll work great on your hair.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the stuff above your shoulders. Like, you didn't flip up her skirt looking at the particulars. Danny, you scamp. Let's go to Pat in Dundalk. Pat, good morning. Thank you for holding, bud.
Good morning, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and I'm one of your gay listeners.
Yes. Big fan of you, bud. Big fan of you.
Now, I got a text about this, about the gay community when it comes to things like this.
It is no bars hold.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no holds barred, man.
No
just go hard.
Bold. Yes.
So, basically, I'm a middle-aged 20-year-old, and I have a young, hot boyfriend in his early 20s.
Yeah, baby.
And whenever we go out to the club, he wears, you know, the slutty crop tops. He wants to be seen. He's really flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're dancing, and people will literally try to dance in between us and grope my boyfriend to the point that I got to say, hi, I'm his boyfriend. Almost have to fight people at the club every time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Now that's a situation.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever actually had to put hands on someone?
I had to push this big black guy. I'm not going to lie. I'm about 5'9". This guy's about 6'2".
Damn.
I had to push him, but he backed off after that because, you know, the gay guys are always fruit cups.
Gotcha.
They're a little sensitive.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems like they're willing to – they'll test the limits, and they're willing to give it a shot. But then once you be like, hey – no thanks. They don't press the issue.
Okay. Sorry.
But they're willing to roll the dice because you never know. Like the gay community is a little more
fun
and malleable. And if who's to say that if he tried that, it would, you know, he rolled the dice, right?
Fair enough. Yeah.
Pat, are you a long time listener of the show or a more recent listener?
Oh, I'm a long time listener.
I would love to make you our correspondent into the LGBTQ community. We already have Carlos from the Latin community. God bless Ariel and Tim. They're the African American representatives, and Asian Megan takes care of all of our Eastern listeners. Pat, we would love to have you be our inroad as we try and diversify the program. Do you think we've done a good job so far, or are there lessons to be learned?
I think you guys are pretty diverse. Really open to the gay community.
God bless you.
My man.
God bless you, sir.
My man.
I'm putting him on hold, Micah. You give him something.
Can I ask you a question?
Well, let me take him off a hold. Hold on one second. And there he is. Pat.
What's up, guys?
Out of the members of the show, where are you going first?
I'm going to have to say Justin.
Oh, yes, sir. No, I won't give in. I don't give in till I'm told. lipstick on me for reasons I can't say. Thank you, Pat. There he goes. Godspeed. Whoo! All right. Let's go to Mike. Sorry. Coughed up some.
Shake it off.
Shake it off. Coughed up some truth there. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Mike?
All right, well, I'm not going to sit here and sound like a broken record, but yeah, I have a hot girlfriend too, and you know she likes to wear the whole yoga pants thing out in public, and you know I've already spoke my mind about it, but
what was that? What'd you say?
How that conversation?
I mean, like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it because it, you know, it reveals a lot. You know what I mean? So
yeah, women but, act like the pants aren't like
they know what they're doing.
You can see everything.
Exactly.
They know.
Mike, did that conversation start with woman? Woman,
yeah, something like that. That's about how it starts. Something like that.
Woman.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a woman and you have a great ass and you're wearing yoga pants, I mean, you're spinning every dude's head that you walk past.
Yeah, guys are leaving there with whiplash looking at that. Let's talk to a lady before we jump here. Anna Forest Hill. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
How you doing, hello, love?
Great. I'm great. First, I love you guys so much.
And we love you.
Hysterically every morning when I listen to you, but I called and I'm saying that generally I think it comes down to a lack of confidence when whether it's the guy or the girl, mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm,
insecurity.
Jealous.
Yep,
you're here.
And you know what? Here's the other thing. Can you speak to this as a woman? If a guy gets his panties all in a bunch when other guys are looking at his girl and he's into her like that, do women find that unattractive in a way? An insecure,
oh yeah,
man, obviously.
Because it shows that they're not confident and they're insecure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. Very good.
What did you get upset about? You wearing scantily clad clothing in public, or?
No, I mean anything. Just, you know, I'm not just talking about myself,
yeah,
but
there,
in general
the whole situation.
It up. Yeah, they're skanking, yeah, it up. Yeah, got a teddy on. You wear a teddy to Target.
Yeah. I think it's different with the guy that was, you know, humping the air behind that girl, and you know, I thought it was kind of funny, but you know, there is a line where you need to be like, hey buddy, back off. But I don't know, I just think the insecurity and the lack of confidence is certainly the cause of,
yeah.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So the debate raged on earlier in the week, and I was out on Thursday, so I might have missed an update if there were any, because I think we talked about it Wednesday, about the Wendy Williams fainting spell. Some people believed it. Some people thought she was faking it. Some people thought she had a stroke. So here we are, you know, 4 days removed. Where does it stand? Where do we stand? Do we think she faked it? People were texting us about it. Sweeps week. Stupid stunts like this. Oh, that's an old radio thing. Doing stunts to pop a rating.
Well, what clip are we going to hear coming up, Mike? The one where you...
Well, the original.
The original.
Well, on both of them, I still claim that it's bogus.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I don't know. You'll hear in the clip or whenever, but I think the day after it happened, she came on the air and she addressed it again. She ran through the whole thing and she talked about it. And I just always consider the source. And for me, she doesn't seem like the type of person that would do something like that. You know what I mean? She's like a New Yorker. She's pretty straightforward. And it seems, I don't want to say beneath her, but it just doesn't seem.
No, that's a good word. I was actually just thinking that, too. I mean, no one's ever going to mistake her for like a Christiane Amanpour or a Katie Couric news person. But this is something beneath her. This is something that like a VH1... you know, I Love New York contestant would pull. This is like a Bachelorette move. This is something that some stupid New Jersey Shore cast member will do to get attention laid on him. I don't think she needs to do this. I mean, she's had big, major, major stars on there. I think she's smart enough to know that doing this on purpose would hurt her more than help her. But I don't think it was a stroke, though. I think it's something else. Not stroke, excuse me. I think it might have been a stroke. I don't think it was a fainting spell.
No, she addressed all that. There was nothing. Wasn't a stroke, wasn't anything else. She said she just got really, really hot and overheated and just kind of went down.
Just went down.
My girl.
How you doing?
Is her show really live? That seems hard to believe because, I mean, they claim she fainted on live TV. I mean, they could have easily, I can't believe that it's live.
Why? A lot of those shows are live.
Yeah, a lot of the morning ones, but hers is midday, I thought.
No, I think it re-airs here. I think in New York, I think it might be on at like 10 okay. or 11 or something like that.
If you do want to see some genuinely good fainting spells, though, I cannot get enough of a good QVC faint. I don't think there's ever been a program where more people have fainted during the program than on QVC. Just they're standing there for hours, hawking some crap that you don't need, but your grandmother's going to buy with what's left of her pension. And the next thing you know, this lady's holding up a food dehydrator, tips over, and just blasts her head on the side of a counter. So enjoy that. Check it out on YouTube and hear our content now when we talked about Wendy Williams passing out. Or did she?
Yeah, she's on 10 a.m. weekdays, Fox 5 in New York.
Costume contest. We do it every year. It's always a lot of fun. Let's get started. Our first caress.
Wendy Williams. Yesterday.
Wendy.
Down she goes. Down goes Williams.
Down goes Williams. Oh, God.
My girl, Wendy Williams. Love her. How you doing?
And I said, look at that, that's a fire.
He's hosted a costume contest yesterday, dressed as a Statue of Liberty. Really tight fitting, I guess, dress that didn't breathe well. Mm-hmm. She had a big head. The way she drops, it's the only issue I have. I choose to believe, Wendy, that you really did faint because I love you. You are one of my favorites. You just keep it so real. You're a New York girl. And, you know, you started in radio at Hot 97 and you clawed your way up and now you got your own show and you're doing it, girl. But she was hosting a Halloween contest. And as you heard, she was getting ready to intro the whole thing and started to stammer her words and her eyes got really big and she started to wobble. And then, because I think when you see people faint, usually they kind of like tip over to one side. She just goes straight down.
She just collapsed.
Like, boom.
I feel like I'm watching an improv class and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're introducing a television show, and then you faint. Go. That it looks like somebody acting.
And then apparently they cut the commercial, and they gave her some water and cooled her off a little bit, and she came to, and she comes back. Do you have where she comes back from commercial? Do we have that audio? She said, I really did faint. That wasn't a bit. I fainted, and I'm back.
Yeah. I'm a champ,
she said.
Yeah, but I saw that outfit she was wearing. It sort of looks like the guy that flips the sign in front of the tax preparation place with the Statue of Liberty outfit.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, she is just hitting the deck.
Welcome back. It's time for our How You Doing Halloween costume contest. We do it every year.
Yeah,
it's always a lot of fun. Let's get started. Our first caress.
Oh, no.
Oh, uh-oh. Wendy.
Wendy! Oh, no.
Apparently she's going to address it on today's show. I have a tendency to watch as much as I can.
I'm not buying her excuse.
You're not?
She said it's because she overheated in her costume, which is just a typical green dress. And then whatever Statue of Liberty hat thing.
Now, to her credit, I will give her the credit here from spending a little bit of time downstairs at WBIO, where we've got a full-blown TV studio, a couple of times where I've attempted and botched an audition. Those lights are brutal. I once went for a Snickers bar commercial, and they were like, you don't even need to read. And it's a rotisserie oven in there. And she's already got that big old honking head of hair. Those two big fake yabos.
She's got to get rid of them yabos.
She runs hot as is.
She's lost so much weight. It says, source at Williams' staff says that they are worried about her. They're wondering if the stress of her personal life or her recent weight loss. Yeah, she has lost so much weight. I think she's a vegan now, and she's doing all this weird stuff. With those two giant, because she used to be a little bit more heavy set.
Yeah, yeah.
So she has these giant fake breasts, and they fit her. Now she's so skinny, she looks ridiculous. They say that her husband, Kevin Hunter, is allegedly making time with a massage therapist.
Oh, getting a little Sharina fresh cracked Hudson. Pepper on a salad?
They deny that charge. They say that's all alleged, and they're saying it's not true.
Mike?
And they say that her recent weight loss might be a sign of something being wrong.
Yeah, looking at beach photos of
her. Yeah, look at her. She looks bad.
Yeah, not a good look.
Oh, girl. Oh,
come
no,
on,
baby.
Wendy.
What is you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, no, baby. What is you doing? Oh, no, I like you. Just curvy and beautiful. But I feel like there might be something to this. I'm watching the GIF animated picture over and over again. People don't pass out like this.
I think it's a publicity stunt.
Josh, you've seen this footage?
I have. It's very scary.
Look at the drop here.
Because she looks terrified
and
when it's happening. She looks very disoriented, and then she drops.
I'm buying it. Why? I mean,
look how much we're talking about her today. It was everywhere
still,
yesterday.
Like, she's never been that type of person.
Mike, you should faint tomorrow.
Well, it's funny you say that.
Stunts.
I was thinking 9 o'clock news, as Spiegel's coming into it, we fake a fainting spell, cut to commercials, and then see what kind of response we get.
We can't do it today.
No, people are expecting
it. We have to remove ourselves a little from the Wendy thing, but I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Next November. We got to do the slow play on this, man, because by then we'll be in like 13th place. We'll be hurting for content. We're going to need to rocket back to the top. Sort of like when Morton Downey Jr. pretended he got attacked by neo-Nazis and they screwed up a swastika on his face with a Sharpie, and he thought that was going to bring him back to prominence. This could be our thing. We're going to fake something.
I want to believe Wendy, but the more I watch it with Mike, like
the video's ridiculous.
The way she drops, and then like the way the two guys rush in, even the two guys rushing in, the one guy like puts his arms up right there, and the other guy like dives.
Yes. Hold on, I'm gonna watch.
I don't know.
I'm gonna watch footage of people fainting. Hold on, Mike, watch this with me. This is a woman that's fainting.
Yeah, but not everybody faints the same. You know,
she goes down like a tower
straight
being
down.
Demolished.
Yeah, see all these people. I'm watching all
these
people
fainting.
They
normally tip over to one side. She goes straight down.
Yeah, she's hitting the deck like someone just took out a kneecap. I'm watching these. All right, well, stick around. Coming up with Sports Mills. Uh-oh.
I got a text from one of our WBAL TV brethren. He says it sweeps. Definitely fake.
Really? Look at this compilation of people passing out on TV. No one's dropping like this. No one's like putting their hands up. This, look at her. Just tips over, tips over, tips over. No one's, floor.
Hey, have you ever fainted, Keith?
Oh.
Fainted. I did faint. I had mononucleosis when I was a senior in high school. Got a blood test. Bam. Down I went.
Mono.
Down goes Fraser.
Oh, God.
Mono, disease.
Mono baby.
Yeah. What about
I was laid up for like 3 weeks.
What about when you fell through the newsroom glass door?
Did not. I wasn't scarred at all. Poor Ann Kramer.
Do we have that audio?
Ann's got it.
Not right off.
Well.
Ann did
you got
not
2 minutes to look
miss
for it.
A beat. She just kept on reading. Kept on trucking.
Wait, was I here for that?
No,
it was a weekend. I was doing the Ravens Saturday Huddle show.
Look at Joe. Was Joe here for that? It's going to piss me
Came
off.
Came in, and the door was closed like it is now. Might have been when the...
Hey, Ann! That's exactly how it sounded.
Put my hand up against the glass, and boom!
Oh, yeah.
Gone.
I was swallowed my own tongue laughing.
Should have sued.
What's that?
Should have sued.
Why?
I don't know. Why the hell not? That's what we do in
you
this country.
Cut?
You sue,
yeah.
Man.
That was a bad concussion.
Was it stress?
Yeah, had to
you
call
got
the
cut. Sue.
Had to call, had
Take
to call
this
the,
company
the
down. And all our careers with
Mike,
it.
Mike, you were there that day, right?
Yeah, I came in right afterwards. I came in right after it happened.
There was okay.
Blood everywhere. I'm
trying to think who was running the board.
There was blood
the
everywhere.
Oh, it's so hot. Hold on. We
went into the secret bathroom, and I guess it was squirting everywhere.
Oh, there's still your blood is on the mirror in the secret bathroom.
Let's take it back.
Clouds tonight, lows expected to be in the upper 60s. Right now in Baltimore, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 76 degrees. I'm Ann Kramer in the WBAL newsroom.
That was actually the sound of the
sounds
window.
Like a sound effect.
Oh, it does.
It sounds like a 100% sound effect.
Oh.
Like right now in Baltimore.
Where's the sound effect you have?
All right, hold on. Let me take
compare
it
to.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this first. Hold on. Let me get it all queued up. Oh my God, this was a gift. This was a gift.
How long was tonight? Lows expected to be in the upper 60s. Right.
And we're still doing weekends.
I just imagine Keith.
I have an erection.
A cutout of Keith in the door.
And you didn't get. You just got cut a little.
I got cut. It wasn't too bad. I didn't have to go to doctors or anything.
There's an exact Hanna-Barbera wall hole with Keith fingers like, and face and everything. Oh my!
But again, Ann Kramer. This is right next to her. She's in
that little booth there. Yeah, the door is right there.
Tonight, lows expected to be in the upper 60s. Right now in Baltimore, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 76 degrees. I'm Ann Kramer in the WBAL.
Lock it out, man. Don't worry, Keith just died.
Ultimate professional.
Keith just got decapitated.
Breaking news from the newsroom, our door.
Clouds tonight, lows expected to be in the upper 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Let's play the audio. Wendy Williams recently passes out on air.
Clouds tonight, lows expected to be in the upper 60s. Right now in Baltimore.
Oh, sorry, wrong audio. That's Keith falling through a glass door like the withered old man that he is. God, that made me happy. All right, here we go. One more time. This is from what day? Was this yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
Here we go.
It's time for our How You Doing Halloween costume contest. We do it every year. It's always a lot of fun. Let's get started. Our first caress.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, watch out now. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait. Oh, down goes William.
Oh, my God, yo.
Fake.
Do you think this is fake? Because the more I'm watching it, people don't pass out like that. I watch.
Well, you can't really judge. I mean, you know, we can't say that.
I guess I'm going by examples.
Yeah.
And I can't find one yet that syncs up with this tungsten rod being dropped from space, bunker buster like fall to Earth. A lot of tip overs.
No, it's, man, if you just do a loop of like the 15 second mark and just here, watch. I'll just, if yeah, I can swing this around, I can just keep hitting it. It's like this. Watch.
Whoa!
The shutter and then the drop. Shutter, drop. It's like, man.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying this is sweeps. And someone else, Mike, you forwarded this to me. There's a theory that she's not actually faking anything. She might be mistaken as to what it was.
Stroke.
TIA, mini stroke. She appears to be aphasic, APHASIC. She could no longer speak. She's speaking slower and more imprecise, dysarthria. She was fined 6 minutes earlier, which is standard with TIA. She looks fine when they cut back from commercials, and she says she's an ER nurse, and she's seen this. Again, this is a Reddit thread that she might not have had, like, a fainting spell.
I feel so sorry for her because her face, she looks terrified as she's going down.
Her eyes are huge.
Yeah, I think it's real.
But what do you
like
think?
Those eyes are like Speak said, she just doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Do you believe the overheating thing, Speak?
I'm keeping an open mind. I'll take any side that pays me the most.
Copy that. Hey, I'm with you there, brother. I will point my ass in the air for the almighty dollar.
It could really go either way. I don't know. She might be a really good actress.
Yeah, some people say, I also thought she was having a stroke. Chris checks in. We had a guy walk into a glass door here. That's fine. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's see. Now, Harry Frederick, good morning, sir.
Yes. Anyway, I blacked out about a year ago and stayed out for about a year. Didn't know where I was or where I'd been or where I was going. Anyway, it was from toxic liver poison. And I just finally came back to Earth about 2 months ago.
Welcome back, buddy.
It was crazy.
It was like a LSD trip for a year.
What?
You know, I zapped out like, my kid peeled me off the bed and took me to the hospital.
What? The story's got layers.
It was toxic liver poison. I just got a new liver. Say a year ago. I just celebrated my new liver about a year ago. Not very much, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago or something.
And it's finally, everything's starting to level out.
Yeah, I'm percolating. Okay. I'm getting back to Earth and can remember.
But you were zonked for a whole year, man, just because your liver
I was out for a year and a half or more.
Damn, what was it like?
It was hallucination, the whole
trip.
Like, did you come out of it suddenly, or did you come at it slowly and progressively?
No, I just finally drifted back to Earth about 4 months ago.
Are you sure you're back?
Yeah.
No, I'm not all the way back. I can't remember, and it kind of faded my memory a little bit from the toxation of the poison.
Harry, what if I told you?
You were like poisoned for a year.
Look into your hand right now, Harry. You're not on a phone. You're talking into a pineapple right now. We're not even here.
Damn, dude was like mildly poisoned for a whole year, and it sent his brain off into some sort of weird hallucination.
Wow, Mike, I'm gonna put him on hold. You give him a liver. Let's go to
got a liver.
He needs a fresh one, by the sounds of it. Oh, now here we go. This might be something fun to get into. Jim in Baltimore. Good morning, buddy.
Morning. How are you?
Good. You've ever fainted?
Yeah. So in the morning, and this only happened once. I had to pee. I had to urinate really bad, and when I went and I urinated, I was almost done, and I'm like, you know what? I'm getting really lightheaded. I better make my way back to bed. And I didn't make it back to bed. I just out cold, woke up on the floor with some rug burn on my cheek trying to figure out what the heck had happened.
Damn.
Did anybody find you, or you just woke up?
I just kind of woke up and went, oh. Crawled into bed all embarrassed, trying to figure out what happened.
You had rug burn on your cheek?
Yeah, I just fell face first, and it just whoosh, and I woke up. I mean, luckily, it was a carpeted floor, not hardwood. Yes.
Hmm. Woke up, he's got rug burns on his butt cheeks, his penis is out. Sure, Spacey.
Good. It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel. Behind the curtain on a Saturday morning, I'm eating some nerds. Grape nerds. Probably on the high up on the list of childhood candies that are very nostalgic. The two flavors in the one box, just fantastic.
They are good.
Anyway, I digress. What are we talking about, Mike?
Well, Farmer Josh checked in for the first time in months. It was Tuesday morning, I believe. He checked in with us, and it was very refreshing to hear him again.
It's just when you hear everything they do, he does, and how... I guess just manly, and I mean, I would not, if I did it for one day what he did, I wouldn't be able to move for a week.
Yeah, it is real legitimate physical labor. And as you'll hear, some days obviously are harder than others. Some days he was saying he's just riding on the back of the wagon or tractor or whatever, helping bale or whatever. But other days you're out in the field picking weeds out of corn.
Yeah, it's just I realized that I am just not a man. Like in any stretch of the... And look, hey, sometimes I feel bad about that, or I feel like guilty. I don't know what I feel like. I feel like... But look, what do you want me to do? Right? Like, that's just... I'm not that.
Well, I'm sure we could be. We just weren't born to that sort of lifestyle.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, I'm 40 and I'm not that. Like, I guess if I had to be that, like you said, I probably could, but...
But it just seems like at the end of the day, that doing that kind of work has got to be far more satisfying when they finally knock off and they go sit down for dinner. Need a solid home-cooked meal. It's got to taste so much better after putting in, 10 hours of solid labor.
Because you're actually, your body, needs it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just
you're
to, like, replace.
You're feeding your body. It's not just, you're just eating. You're actually fueling a machine.
Exactly.
Right, Speaks?
Yeah, I'm a farmer.
Fueling the machine.
And I put gas in the tractor every day. Every day. That's how I fuel it.
Gas in the tractor, behind the curtain. Here he is, Farmer Josh on 98 Rock.
Mike Anderson, who's joining us on the phone here?
Got a very pleasant call yesterday from Farmer Josh.
Farmer Josh! I haven't
heard from him in forever.
What's been going on, buddy? Long time no talk to.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
How you doing, man?
We're good. Now, Farmer Josh is a guy we've met... We met Farmer Josh in person. I can't really remember.
Mike did.
Yeah, I did.
At the with the fair.
Yeah, we've still never met him. We just know him just via the phone.
And, Cecil County Farm Fair. Great time.
He called in one time to, what was the first thing he ever called in about? It probably had to be corn. That's all we ever freaking talk about.
Oh, yeah. I think we were talking about how it wasn't doing well, right, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah, we were getting frost in March and beginning of April.
Oh, God, listen to the... Yeah. The pacing of
then
the
we,
voice.
Then we found out you were like 15 years old. You had like seven kids. You work 30-hour days. You hadn't gone to bed in 3 weeks. And you once like had to carry a tractor on your own shoulders while birthing a calf. We actually got some footage of you and Mike hanging out at that fair where Mike did the hay bale tossing contest, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And is this the time of the year now as we head into the fall months? Is this harvest season, right? Hence the harvest moon, the what is it, Thanksgiving and Halloween? It's right around that harvest time.
Yeah. We've hired the combine to come in. He's been shelling corn and combining our beans, and then we've been picking corn with the new idea corn picker, the two row corn picker.
What is it called?
It's a new idea.
New idea corn picker. I love looking up these pieces of
equipment. It's a two.
Wait, so you don't you don't own the combine? You rent those out? You got to rent one or something, or you hire a guy?
Yeah.
How much one of those go for? Like if you were to buy one of those big ass combines?
I don't know. I don't know what a new one. A new one's like
$500.
$1 million?
Oh, I said half a million.
Look this thing up. A two-row corn picker. If you're hiding out amongst the stalks, you're ground beef if this thing hits you. This looks like something from Mad Max.
Yeah, you strapped that on the front of like a giant truck or something.
Hell
you're Mad
yeah.
Max.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of neat how it works. It has chains that are called gathering chains, and they grab the corn and bring it in. And then you have snapping rollers. There's maybe an inch in between each of them, and they roll to the inside. So as you're driving along, you put the row of corn down it, and the row of corn gets gathered by the gathering chains, rolls into that snapping roller, snaps the ear off. It goes into a husking bed with a bunch of other rollers with little teeth on them that grab the husks off.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a picture, and I see out the top shooting fully shucked corn.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That takes it from a full plant to a fully shucked thing of corn shooting out the ass end of that thing.
Yeah. What? Yeah, and then it goes into a wagon, and then we unload it in the cribs.
Yeah, Mike, look at this footage I'm watching here. How slick is this damn thing? It's doing exactly what he's saying, because you have the whole stalk, this big, thick stalk, and it's all dry. And like Scott said, I'm just as amazed, because out the tailpipe of this thing, I don't see stalk one, like... Talk to me about a time, Josh, talk to me about a time that I'm assuming like your father or grandfather didn't have the benefit of this technology. How long was it taken to do this job without a two-row corn picker?
Well, actually, those two-row corn pickers have been around probably since my grandfather's been around.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
They don't make them anymore, actually, because they're extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't leave them, if you don't shut them off, and I mean that happens all the time, is they get clogged up. So you have to get down and clean them out. Well, if you don't shut the power takeoff off, then you have this thing still sucking, you know, down. And if you grab a hold of something, it's going to pull your arm down.
I was going to say it's going to shuck your arm clean off. You're just going to see this hand and forearm spiral through the air.
Yeah, I know, and there's been people around that have had that happen, and, you know, that's why they quit making them, because people were losing limbs, people were losing fingers, and they were getting killed. And
it just looks dangerous.
So,
wait, you said, okay, so we're doing the two-row, the new idea corn picker, and then the combine's doing what now? What's going on at that farm?
He's shelling our corn.
What's that?
So he goes through with the combine, and instead of having the cobs come out, he just... It breaks it up inside, and the shelled corn comes out. Instead of having the whole cob and everything, now you just have shelled corn.
I don't know what that means.
When we sell our ear corn, that's still on the ear, you know, when we sell it, sometimes the cobs will go for more than the corn goes. You know, you can sell the cobs for more than the corn.
You mean just like the leftover part of the inside of the corn where there's no more kernels?
Yeah.
Why is the cob so desirable?
Well, depending on the year, you know, they use it for a feed supplement. And depending on the year, they might be low on cattle feed, so they need more cobs. And then the cobs get sold and go to cattle feed. Now, the shelled corn, it gets sold to go to cornmeal, corn flakes, you know, whatever has corn starch in it or anything.
Are cows picky eaters?
Not normally.
That's just a funny question here.
Will they eat like anything you put in front of them, or they'll only eat like certain? Like pigs, pigs eat anything, right?
Yeah, it depends on how you raise them. Because we have people around that their cows are eating the nastiest, crappiest looking hay around. You know, well then we try to feed our cows something that's, you know, halfway moldy and doesn't look very good, and they don't want to eat it. You know, so they're just spoiled. Cause yeah.
What about pigs as pets? Is that a new thing? I know people have been obviously have done it for a long time, but I guess I just see more and more people that want to sort of domesticate a pig, the potbelly pig, or those ones that turn out to what seem to be a cute little, you know, baked potato sized piglet grows up to be the size of a hatchback. Would you have a pet as a pig, Farmer Josh?
No, probably not, dude. Because I'd want to eat it all the time.
So. God bless you. Yes. Yeah, me too. Oh, man. God bless you.
Have you ever drank pig's blood?
Oh.
No.
I did.
Justin has.
On Saturday, they made me at a show, and it was, Josh, you're missing out on nothing. Boil a pot of pennies and just drink it. It's disgusting. So hey, when's the harvest done? When's it all finished up? And when do you, is there, I hate to say downtime, a farmer's work is never done, but when is the harvest over and completed for the season?
Well, we got, mainly our stuff will be done. You know, we hired a combine in, but that doesn't really affect us too much. Our picking will be done, hopefully, if it dries off. We had 3 inches of rain Sunday night and Sunday, so we won't be in the fields for a while. But we have 5 more cribs to fill, which that'll be around 40 loads of corn yet. So in a week, if we get a week where it's dry and we're running good without anything breaking down, we can get that done. But we're also trying to do some deer hunting now here, too.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah, damn right. It's the same here.
Oh, what do you hunt with?
I normally hunt with my bow.
You're damn right.
Yeah, it's a real man.
A bow I bet you made. A bow I bet you made. And at the end of that arrow is a cob of corn. You just planted it inside. Corn Anderson.
I was going to say, Josh, now that we're at the end of the season here, how was it? All year we've been talking about how the corn hasn't looked up to expectations. But now that we're here, how is everything?
It looks pretty good. I mean, we have the corn that we were picking to fill a crib Saturday night. I believe it was going to do, I don't know, 200, 230 bushel the acre. And that's good corn. And we had some corn at the combine with Shellen that he said it would go up to 260 bushel the acre. So, you know, your good corn, it goes above 200 bushels the acre. Your great corn, it's pushing 300.
Wow, that's great corn.
So, you know, you're talking, think of a bushel basket and think of it filled up with shelled corn. And if you went around and shelled all the corn and put it in bushel baskets, how many bushel baskets would you have on an acre? You know, so if the corn's real good, you'd have 200 bushel baskets sitting on an acre of ground. So
right.
It does yield pretty good.
Yeah, right, it does.
This year it's been... We've had a lot of trouble with a weed called burr cucumber.
Ooh.
It grows in the field, and it grows, they say, up to 2 foot a day.
Damn.
Wow. Holy
That's
crap.
A hell of a weed.
That's like something I can and lower myself
just,
onto.
Is that, now, does a weed, is the reason weeds are bad is because they just suck all the nutrients out of the soil and then the corn's not getting the nutrients?
Well, yes, that, and they say that it grows 2 foot a day with hot sun, a humid day, and lots of water. And that was how we had pretty much most of our early and late summer, was really hot and humid and raining every other day, it seemed like. So we've had the field across from my house, actually. It has, I don't know, maybe half to three-quarters of an acre of just burr cucumber that it growed up. It grows up on top of the corn, and as it gets big enough, the corn starts weakening. Well, it just knocks it down.
Whoa, that's a hell of a weed, dude.
Yeah. You know, and the thing of it is why we call it burr cucumber. It looks just like a cucumber leaf.
Mm-hmm.
It has all these little round seeds on it that have all these little hairs stuck all in them.
Ooh.
And it's almost like you get your hair cut about a half an inch, and they take all the clippings from your hair and dump it down your back.
Ooh.
Oh, it's the worst!
That, you got the itchies, man. You got the itchy scratchies all up and down the crack of your ass.
Oh, I'm looking at it. Yeah, see those little hairs. F that!
Oh, that stuff sucks.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with that.
and you gotta, you know, you gotta get in there and pull it out of the fields to get a picker through it, or a couple of the fields, the combine would go around them. Well, then we would go through and pick it by hand.
Oh, you're such a man.
My truck bed, I filled it with ears of corn. I had a 6-foot bed, and I had it just about level full. So that was a good bit of corn out of just patches of weed that we had to pull out.
God, just hearing the work that you do, man, I'm tired because I played dress-up and watched people do fake fighting last night at the arena. And meanwhile, this guy's pulling up this cucumber hair, itchy scratch, weed by hand, shucking corn with that two-row corn picker. He is Farmer Josh, and he's a good friend of ours, a working man. Working
with his family. Out there.
Yeah, you stay safe, buddy. You stay warm. Enjoy your Halloween this evening.
Let me ask you, I had just one more quick question, because it's getting colder. I learned something the other day because I'm doing outside activity now, and the person told me that whatever the temperature is, dress like it's 20 degrees warmer. Do you guys kind of do that kind of thought? Because you're going to be moving and grooving. So if it's like 40 degrees out, you don't want to dress like it's 40 degrees. You kind of want to dress like it's 60, 65.
Yeah, it depends on what you're doing. If you're going to be moving, but if you're going to be in a tractor or a skid loader all day or something.
Right, you bundle up a little more.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah. When we had that blizzard a couple years ago, I was stuck in the skid loader without a cab or heat anything. And we had to go out and clean the snow as it was still snowing. And you have your hands on the handles driving around. Well, I rubbed my face the one time and I felt something hard on it. Well, all the snot was froze to my mustache and down in my beard, and it was all straight out.
Yes, you're such a man. Oh, you're such a badass farmer, Josh. Hey, it's been a long time. It's been too long. Don't stay a stranger, buddy. We'll talk to you before the year's over, okay?
All right, sounds good. You guys take care.
You take care. There he goes.
Such a soft-spoken man.
God, he is. You know, but he speaks with his actions. Yeah. And his snot beard.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel, 98 Rock, 98online.com. Thank you for joining us. Josh, good to see you on a Saturday. Mike, good to see you.
Good to be here.
Justin is in the bathroom having his morning movements. But coming up, you're going to hear a break we did where I had an awkward interaction in the hallway with a coworker, and much to the delight of all of the people here on the show. They thought it was great fun that I had an awkward interaction.
I was present, and I didn't really pick up on it. It was our new assistant producer, Sammy Boots, that thought that it was kind of awkward.
And she I don't know what I take more solace in, the fact that if that helps, knowing that you didn't think it was awkward.
Well, Mike is a known liar.
Well, Sam,
because normally you're the one you pick up on, like you're an awkwardness detector. Like you get, you feel awkward in the situations where there is no awkwardness.
Yes.
So if you didn't pick up on it, then maybe it wasn't as bad as Sam's making it out to be.
Well, she is a woman, and this awkward interaction was with a woman. So, I mean, she probably can pick up on those subtle dynamics that arise between those interactions between men and women better than maybe I can from a male perspective.
I think I'm also guilty of personalizing the situation a little bit, like putting all of it on me, where I think there might have been some awkwardness on both sides of the coin there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes. I'm very guilty of personalization. I've been told that. Like, you know, it's not always just you. There's two people involved in this interaction. It was with what's her name again?
Taylor Grenda.
Taylor Grenda. She's the new the meteorologist downstairs. And you'll hear the story. I wasn't even going to say anything because I try to avoid awkward situations like this, but we made eye contact and I just couldn't at that point pull the ripcord and bail on the situation. I made eye contact with her, so we had never met, so I had to make an introduction, and it didn't go well. I'm not good at social situations.
But yeah, like you said, she really didn't give much of a response. She was very brief with her response, if I remember correctly.
How have we gotten to the point? Has it always been this way? Like, I guess it's person to person, and you can't really. But like, human interaction seems like it has gotten so difficult. Or like we've lost we don't know the art form of human interaction anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
we're not well versed in it anymore.
I mean, we don't even make phone calls anymore.
No,
we just don't practice. It's so rare now that we come face to face with people we're unfamiliar with and have to actually converse with them that we just suck at it now.
Did I tell you I went up to my neighbor that I hadn't met in a month and a half, 2 months, and I pulled up to my house and I saw him washing his car, and I pulled up to the driveway and I said, you know what? That's it, damn it. I'm meeting him. I'm going over there. And before I could get any kind of nervous, I just shut my car off, shut my car door, walked right down the sidewalk and walked right up to him. I said, hey, man, I live next door. We haven't met yet. Just wanted to say, hey, I'm Scott. I live here with my wife and daughter, and we just moved in a little while ago, and didn't go well.
Really?
No, I mean, it was just not, you know, it was just like, oh, nice to meet you. Yeah, blah, blah.
He was cold.
Maybe he listens to the show.
I don't know what his deal is. I just don't think they're very, like, sociable.
Is he an older guy, or?
Nah, he's probably like my age.
Really?
That Look, sucks. I can't, so you got a bad but you neighbor. Can't judge people. You don't know. Maybe he's just a shy guy like I am. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want
to. But that's one of those situations where you got to turn it on. I don't care if you're tired, you don't feel like it. It's your first interaction.
Hey, man. Yeah. He said they had, you know, it wasn't any of that. It was very, like, monotone. Oh, hey. Like, oh, yeah, we meant to come over, but, you know.
Like he was annoyed that you approached him?
Nah, I don't know what it was. It was just, I don't know. All right, well, here it is, my awkward interaction with Taylor Grenda. Justin Scott, speaking behind the curtain, 98 Rock.
What was apparently so weird about yesterday? Mike, is Sammy Boots in?
Yes.
Sammy Boots to the FM studio, please.
Sammy!
To the studio. Actually, just Sammy. We dropped the boots. We dropped the boots. I keep forgetting that. We dropped the
I
boots.
I don't even remember. What is this person's name, Mike? I don't even remember her name.
Is it Taylor? Is it Taylor? Taylor? Is it Taylor Grenda?
Do we want to disclose her identity?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Well, she did nothing wrong.
And I don't think I did anything wrong. It's just, here's the thing. Coming off a weekend. What? What are you laughing at? Nothing.
There's a darkness within him.
I'm laughing at Sam walking.
Walk in like the cat that just ate the canary.
Well, it's just coming off a weekend where I started something new and I did this whole thing. And I was on the air talking about how...
Butt stuff!
When I'm in certain social situations, I have a tendency to... become a wallflower, clam up.
Turtle up.
I'm just very insecure with my ability to interact with people.
Leave me alone.
No, it's not even like that. I wish I could do it. I can't do it. And I, you know, joined this running club and I was there and I left there beating myself up, like, you know, saying, God, you didn't really make the most of that. You should have. You know, talk to more people or met more people. And then Friday here at the office with the Halloween thing, there was a bunch of people with their significant others. And once again, I wish I could just be that guy that, you know, ping pongs around the room and is like, hey,
hey, guys. Hey.
And I just never am.
You heard about my penis? Yes, it's registered with the NRA.
So then yesterday I'm standing in the hall and right outside the producer's pit and I'm looking through this book. What was the book I was looking through?
Paul Tuttle's
Kama Sutra.
Paul Tuttle Jr. from Orange County Choppers, American Chopper. We're going to be talking to him. I'm like looking through this book and I'm just standing there. And I'm looking through the book. And then as I look up, there's someone walking right at me. And we make eye contact. So I'm like, okay. And I've never met this person before. So there's a moment where I'm like, well, how do I play this? Like a split second decision in my head. I'm like, we've made eye contact. I could either be like the a-hole, you know, clamshell guy and not say anything and just like look away.
Good morning, Scott. Mm-mm.
Well, they don't even know who I am. I've never met the person. They're brand new. If it was somebody I know, and I'd just be like, hey, what's up? But I'm like, okay, so I've made eye contact with this person. I go, what do I do? And I just go, hey. I go, I'm Scott. I don't think we've ever met. I go, I'm Scott from the 98 Rock Morning Show. And she goes, oh, hey, I'm Taylor. Was that her name?
It's Taylor Grenda.
Taylor.
Before you continue how you introduced, I'll tell you how I introduced myself to her. And yours is far better. The first time I met her last week, same thing. As we're going to our meeting, she's coming up.
The crossing in the hallway is the most awkward interaction ever.
And I just go, hey, you. She doesn't know who I am.
That's kind of what I did.
Like, we're old, like, seafaring friends, fresh in from a bountiful catch on the Indian Ocean. And I just go, hey, you. And she looks at me like, I don't know you. And I realize I haven't said who I am, who I work for. You took the time, and you said, hello, I'm Scott.
And it was probably awkward and fumbly because, like I said, I'm not good at these things. And then I was like, oh, hey, this is our Mike standing right behind me. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is our producer, Mike.
Nice to meet you.
And Mike's like, oh, yeah, we've met. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And she walks away, and I was taken back by, she's very beautiful. Like, when you see these people in person, sometimes they're more beautiful than you expect. And I was like, wow, I'm like, wow,
Which is why I feel comfortable on Lowell, because he's so effing hideous.
Yeah, right. He puts you, there's no...
He's so gross.
He's so gross.
Everyone else down there is beautiful, but yeah.
See, you're taken back a little, you're fumbly. It was the first interaction. I said something. I was like, oh, yeah. And then for the next 5 minutes, I get like mercilessly like beat up about how awkward it was and how obvious it was that I, you know, thought she was like pretty and this and that. And I'm just like, that's exactly why I don't put myself out there.
See what happens?
Exactly.
You put yourself out there.
Sammy and Mike, the two of you have done nothing but drive me further into my shell.
Because I tried to do it.
I tried to be the social guy. And then, oh,
it was wonderful.
No. Oh, all of a sudden. It was.
No, I'm not.
Singing a different tune today, aren't we? In the meeting, it sounded a little awkward. It was just great. You're flipping through a book. Hey, I'm Scott Reardon, and
it was the only reason I even did it is because we made eye contact, and I was forced into it.
Well, hello.
What was I supposed to do? Just if you make eye contact with somebody,
I'm Scott.
You have to acknowledge them, right? If I would have just not acknowledged it, then I would have been a complete a-hole. So it was like, here, it's go time.
Do you like Orange County Choppers?
You never met this person before, and now you got to say something. And I did it, and apparently I suck at it.
Well, what'd she say to you? Okay, so you say, hi, I'm Scott. I work on the 90 Rock Morning Show.
Just saw, hey, nice to meet you.
She was in a trance in the moment.
I've heard of you. Yeah. What'd she say? Hi, nice to meet you. Oh, cool.
Yeah, she barely said anything. This is on her. She made it weird.
It was very awkward.
She clutched her pearls and leaned against the wall as the sweat beaded on her forehead.
If anything, it was more awkward on her part because she's the new person here.
The legend is
true. She's new.
Yeah.
It's my house.
he's the face that runs the place, the champ that runs the camp. It's his yard, and there's an article at WBAL-TV about Taylor Grenda.
Taylor Grenda. She's very beautiful.
Six things you didn't know. She grew up in Delaware, went to the University of Miami. Favorite vacation spot, Florida Keys.
Oh, that's where I'm going. Oh, we have common ground. Maybe I'll talk to her about that.
She also enjoys swimming competitively.
Woo!
And she promotes water safety in the community. One of the reasons she loves Maryland is that she grew up in Delaware, but of course she loves Maryland crabs. And she's a bit of a foodie. Also loves animals, helping pets, and having awkward as absolute conversations in the hallway with her coworkers. Helping pets and find homes is a huge devotion of mine. Sammy, you're the one that came jackbooting into the meeting and be like, oh man, Scott just had the weirdest conversation with this lady in there. Now, did you think that he was smitten with her?
Or? He said that he was.
And she said she was an attractive woman.
Yeah, it was more just like a spur of the moment. Because I'd never had any interaction with her. And I'd barely even ever seen her. So when you first meet someone, you're like, oh, wow, she's way more delightful than I
But you were like spitting all over yourself.
Like I said, I was taken back.
Can you put your finger on exactly what it was, Sam?
I didn't see
the conversation. So
she just heard it.
I heard it. So I heard the energy. And I just thought it was very funny that you not only introduced yourself, but then was like, and this is our producer, Mike.
He was being social.
But I didn't get introduced, which
you haven't
offended.
Earned that right yet.
I turned around, Mike was right there, and you were all the way
in. All I do for you.
You need to have 1 year's worth of tenure here before we started.
You weren't watching it. She was in Mike's line of sight. Like, she was right there. She was kind of looking at me, and Mike was, like, leaving the office to go to the meeting. He was right behind me, so I just kind of did, like, see? I can't win. He even screwed that up.
He tried.
I'm talking to no one ever again.
He tried to introduce himself.
I loved it, though.
He tried to introduce
Mike. I want him
Mike.
To meet more people.
No.
Go do it yourself.
You know what? I'm off the Sam train now, too.
Them boots was made for walking, and that's what you'll do. I thought from what I heard about the exchange, it was fine. And the little bit of interaction I've had with the fantastically vibrant Taylor Grenda, she seems to be a great person.
I guess... Women are better at picking up on those kind of things because I didn't pick up on it. It wasn't until Sam mentioned it that
that I became horrifically self-conscious about my interaction with another human being.
Well,
Mike didn't pick up on it. It was fun.
I'm probably the same way.
Yeah, we're all that way, I think. Except Sam, who's perfect.
Yep. Fart noises. Yeah, we just start making our
inherently,
stupid bits.
We are genetically predisposed to like light up in the midst of even at the gym. I could pump out a few more reps if I'm next to a woman that's attractive.
Because you're trying to impress her?
Yeah. It's just instinctual.
One!
It's like in us.
Throw the weights down as hard as I can.
Two!
And if this was like olden days, you'd club her over the head and drag her back to your cave, right?
Mine!
Let us go breed now. Yeah. Ugh, God.
Caveman Anderson.
I still love you, Sam.
Sam, you're great.
Just don't be so hard on me.
I love you guys.
You need to go downstairs and find out at some point what she thought of Scott.
Okay, I will.
I don't want to know. I do not
want to know. I won't let you know, but I'll let Justin know.
Let me know, and if it's bad, lie to me. Okay.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Boy, got my first challenge when it comes to not drinking with a November to remember, something that we decided to do where we're just going to kind of clean ourselves out over the month of November. We're going to ease up on the alcohol. Josh is going to back up off the PCP and the random hookers. Mike's going to quit cutting himself, and we're going to see if we can go ahead and feel better come December. Are we still TBD talking to Bert Kreischer about this?
Yeah, I'm going to hit him up this weekend. I figured let's wait till Sunday evening to prime him for hopefully Monday.
I mean, the main question I want to ask him is, Bert, you know, travels for comedy. Bert, mm-hmm. Bert the machine.
Conqueror. You
know, the conqueror. This is what he's been known for, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, who the hell knows when was the last time he even went, you know, 2 days without a drink, let alone a whole month. I want to know, like, how, like, did he feel dramatically better? Was it, you know, a huge noticeable difference?
I want to ask him what it was like to perform. Rob Mayer, our friend, has performed with him, has said that...
Clear-minded.
He said at the end of a show, he gets inundated with shots that... He gets bought so many shots that he has to give half of them to the audience because everyone wants to buy him a drink. And I would have to assume that there's people that want to be the person that they could claim to be the one that screwed him up and got him out of the... October sober thing.
You've heard about that. Like, I can't remember what band it was, but like a band was talking about that. That when you go to the next town, there's people there that you're only there, right? This is there. You just came up into the town. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, yeah, dude. And there's friends there, and there's maybe sometimes family there. And they're like, oh, let's party. Come on, you're in town. Let's do it. And you don't realize you just left a town where you just did that.
Exactly.
And you just
thing.
Left the same another town where you just, and it's every single stop is the same freaking thing. But I want to know about like drinking before you go on stage. Like, was it different maybe going out onto the stage completely sober?
Clear-headed, ready to go. Did you remember jokes you'd forgotten? Did you add tags to one? Did you not sell a joke as hard because you didn't have that liquid confidence that a couple of gin and tonics will give you prior to a performance? Well, we're trying it. We're continuing. We're all using the honor system and holding out. Coming up this week, I'm actually going to be starting my jiu-jitsu some. You guys are running. Josh is going to do 1,000 squats a day, he's promised us. 1,000 butt-bubbling squats a day. So look for a thicker keister on the News Genius coming up December. We're doing it. November to remember on Behind the Curtain.
Are we going to do this every day now, Mike? A countdown to what day we're at? Day two of the no drink November.
9-1-1.
He did that for years. I never like Spiegel. I never had the heart to say anything.
Nobody called him out.
He always says 9-1-1. Yeah, we're doing the no drink November to remember. And we're all just going to try and better ourselves. We're not going to drink. Spiegel, I think, is going to try and put aside some of the takeout. Maybe make better dietary decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a steamer. Steam some stuff.
Oh, do they steamer? Okay.
Like a steamer basket. Okay. Very easy.
All right.
Well, I mean, if anything, you should just start by buying healthier carryout.
Well,
that's a big leap.
Yeah, you still order Chinese, but just get the steamed chicken and broccoli.
Yeah, instead of get the vegetable lo mein.
That's gross.
It does sound gross. What's your go-to? Yeah, when you eat out, what's your go-to?
Yesterday, I don't think I ate dinner yesterday because it was too late, and at 7:30, I was really hungry, but I thought, okay, you're going to sleep soon. Why are you going to eat? You're not supposed to. Yesterday, I don't even know what I ate yesterday.
I'm just trying to see if I can make it into a healthy version.
You know what? I had some blintzes.
How do you make a healthy blend? Where do you even buy this?
About 2 or 3 o'clock.
What even is a blend?
You know, it's a cheese in a wrap.
Yeah, cream cheese, right?
I don't think it's cream cheese. It's some other kind of cheese, and it's very good.
It's sweet, right?
My mouth is watering.
A crepe-like pancake filled with cheese.
Yeah, it's kind of a like cylindrical. It's wide and
oh, look at those! They look good.
Yeah.
God, where'd you get that?
Yeah, where'd you buy a blintz?
Oh, you know, you can get them in the store. Every once in a while, I'll go to the Jewish store reluctantly, be around my own people.
Good old blintz. So you can't make a blintz healthy, I guess, right, Joe? That's
like, you can put spinach in it, I guess.
Ew!
Spinach blintz.
Gross.
A blintz. If you had 100 guesses, would you guess enough?
What'd you have for lunch yesterday? Blintz is not in the top 50.
I went to the Blintz store.
So, yeah, 410-338-1098. You guys know us pretty well. I mean, you listen a lot, and we've been doing the show for a number of years, and you hear us, talk about going out and talk about, boozing and drinking. And who do you think it'll affect the most? If I had to guess... You said Mike.
I did.
Because you've seen Mike drink, and you think when Mike drinks, it's something different.
It is. It's a different level.
Different level.
Well, it is. But that's in a social party situation.
Right. That's when he knows it's a party and it's on, and that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier for me than anybody else because I don't, again, have the stressors that you and Justin have of having children and a family and a house to worry about. Like, I can now, like, I've started watching Netflix. That's my, like, replacement. I'll just go home, lay on the couch, watch TV.
So instead of drinking, you watch TV?
Yeah, I watched a documentary the other night. What did I watch last night?
Stranger Things 2?
Yes, I was watching that, actually. And I watched a bunch of The Office on Netflix. So, I'm just going to replace it with that. Like, but if I had, like, a bunch of, like, you know, if I had to go hang out with family and all those other stressors, like, that's where I really, like, kind of use it as a crutch.
You mentioned
deal
that you use it to take the edge off to try to maybe go to sleep, and then you mentioned something else that you do to help you sleep. Do you think that will increase in November, the amount of me time?
I mean, that's, the 12:30 time as Justin calls it, because that's like a drug, too. You know, it's a quick drug. I mean, it's over pretty quickly, but it still, releases endorphins and dopamine.
So you're going to replace mass drinking with masturbating as well?
Right.
Okay.
Instead of taking a shot, I'll masturbate over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the No Drink November, here we are, day two. Like I said yesterday, I was out on my deck. I went out on the back deck, and the weather was great, and I was grilling up some cedar plank salmon, and I thought to myself, oh, man, I want a beer right now. And it wasn't an overwhelming urge. Like it wasn't like I was pissed off and I couldn't have one. And I was like opening the fridge and looking at him going, it was more or less just a situational thing where I was like, this would be a perfect opportunity. But I went, can't do it. And I didn't.
Are your partners helping? Are they not having alcohol in the house?
No.
Are they curbing their own drinking?
Is she having wine in front of you?
No. I mean, she doesn't drink. We don't drink at home. We never ever hardly ever drink at home. Like maybe I'll have, like I said, a situational beer if it's nice out or something, but during the week there's no drinking. But like we're going to have dinner with friends on Saturday and I was like, well, I'm not drinking. And she's like, this guy wanted to have a few drinks with you and hang out. And I'm just like,
so she's upset that you're not gonna
drink. She
wasn't
upset, but she was just, I said, look, like, so what if I didn't drink, like what if I just never drank? Then it would just be like, okay, well, no, thank you, I don't drink.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of vibe. Yeah. Like, I'll just go, now, dude, and I'll just even sell them. I'll say, we're doing this thing for the show. We're not drinking for November. Sorry, man. I can't have a drink. Right? Like, it's easy to excuse away. What is the guy? He's not going to say nothing.
Who gets mad that you're not? Although people do, they do. That is true. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Where they're people don't drink. Oh, you'll drink with me. Well, who are you? Some sort of alcohol guru? No, I don't. You know, if people don't drink, they don't drink.
They don't drink. And, right.
But
and
people,
I would never push that issue.
People
right.
do like when people drink. That is a real thing.
Yeah. And I think that's all it was. It was just like, oh, you know, we're just going to go and have a couple of drinks. And it's just like, well, I can still go. And I guess, you know, not drink, so I don't know. Let's go to line one. Who do we have on line one? Here we got Jesse. Good morning, Jesse.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I am doing well.
Nice.
Yeah, so what I was going to talk about, I think it'll be you, Scott. Not because you, you know, you go out partying around here saying you just like a good beer.
Yeah.
Good craft beer. I mean, that'd be tough for me because I love a good craft beer. And
it's exactly what it was yesterday. Yesterday was the perfect setup for a perfect craft beer, and I was just like, see, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like an overwhelming urge. It was more just like, ah, man. And it was almost, thanks for the call, a little bit loud, but I was almost like, you know, this is perfect setup. I'll have one. See, and I was like, I can't have one.
For me, when 4 o'clock comes around, it's the perfect time for a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Give me a chocolate cake. It's perfect.
Yeah, we do need to. See, but would you even do it? Would you really adhere to it? Could like?
Oh, I can't do a month without sweets. I would have to. And you know what? Like Sunday during the week, I really don't. Okay,
Sweets would be hard for me too.
I love them.
I swear to God, sweets would be harder for me than booze.
Yeah.
100%.
On Sunday, you know, like Saturday, Sunday morning, it's almost a ritual. I just love getting a Danish with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, dude.
I take it out. I don't eat it there. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's almost like a ritual. It's like an alcoholic. Don't they have rituals?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, we're all, dude, it's just different. Like, I'm convinced I'm addicted to sugar.
Oh, 100%.
Sugar and carbs.
Caffeine, more than sugar,
I am booze. I love, like, goddamn chocolate chip cookies. I wish they didn't exist.
So why don't you, can you replace the alcohol with chocolate? But then you'll get really fat.
Yeah,
bro.
No, that's probably
one vice for another.
Yeah, no, that's
you start gambling instead, see how that works?
No, I can't.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Legendary actor, comedian John Witherspoon joined us yesterday, Friday. Check him out, Baltimore Comedy Factory tonight. And yeah, we were straight up with him. We were asking him, hey, you're an older dude. Why are you still doing this at the age of 75? And you know, he gave an honest answer, and an answer that I wasn't surprised by, but I was glad he was honest with. He said he just remembered a time of being just so poor or growing up poor, which I don't know why I made this connection in my mind, but maybe it'll make sense to you. When you watch those episodes of Hoarders and you hear stories about people that grew up like shockingly like hungry or destitute, or like, they called them pack rats before Hoarders. My grandmother was a pack rat, and she grew up on my dad's side during the Depression. And they couldn't get her to throw away anything because she remembered having nothing but the dirt beneath her feet.
Yep.
So it made sense for him to be like, man, I remember. You'll hear a story coming up about how little money he had to draw out of his account, that they wouldn't give him the few nickels that he had in it. So, yeah, I liked his answer. I liked how hard he works, and he doesn't seem like he's going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't. Even when I get to that age, if I ever make it that far, I don't want to like just sit around. I can't imagine being like retired in the typical sense of it, of just kind of, you know, waking up, going to McDonald's, eating breakfast in one of the booths.
Yeah, but like take solace in the fact, like when you're at that age, like I did it. Okay, like I'm in the autumn, if not winter, of my life. I made money. I had a decent enough life. I can just like I'm waiting for the day when I can like exhale. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the day that you can just be like, and scene.
Like those African-American women in that movie.
Wait, they were waiting.
Yes.
They were waiting too, and then they exhale.
I'd also like to get my groove back.
Was Whitney Houston in that movie, Waiting to Exhale?
You got me falling down a Waiting to Exhale. Waiting to Exhale hole. Okay. Waiting to Exhale came out 1995. Who was in this film? Whitney Houston, good on you. Angela Bassett, who I'm as scared of as I'm turned on by. Gregory Hines, who has the weirdest eyebrows you've ever seen. Loretta Devine and Lila Rochon as Robin Stokes. Sometimes ask myself, why did I get married? What happened to my groove? And will Madea ever just have a calm Halloween without having someone jump out and saying boo too? We got to talk to John Witherspoon. Dude was awesome. He's going to be at the Comedy Factory tonight. Go check him out. It's Behind the Curtain.
Joined in studio. We love him. Every time he comes around, going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory tonight and tomorrow night. John Witherspoon in studio. You know him from Friday, The Boondocks, Black Jesus on Adult Swim. Next Friday,
Good morning, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thank you.
We always love having you. Just got off a red-eye flight.
Red-eye, L.A. to Baltimore, almost 5 hours.
And you were in L.A. yesterday working on Black Jesus. You hop on a plane, you fly here, you drop your bags off at the hotel, and you boogie on up to the studio here.
Hell yeah.
TSA
I've
give
been
you.
Doing so much, so long. I've been doing it so long.
TSA give you a hard time?
No, they never give me a hard time.
They give you the feel up? Anybody get handsy?
I have that new thing called Clear.
Oh, you do? You shoot right through.
Right through.
Yeah, because you travel a lot. So probably.
Oh, I got Clear.
Is that the same as PreCheck?
Basically, yeah.
Is it better than PreCheck?
They put you right in front. They walk you right in front of the line.
What?
Oh, you got to feel like the man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
do you get recognized, John Witherspoon?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because if we do that, we do the Clear and we jump to the front of the line, the pitchforks and torches come out. If you do, if John Witherspoon does, they get it. Like that's granddad.
They have security. They have security, see. So they put them right in the front of the line and no one bothers those people.
Yeah.
They see Clear. You know, I don't think that many people know about Clear, though.
Clear Me? Is that what it's called, Clear Me?
No, just Clear.
Okay. This is a perfume, I guess.
Right. I'm familiar with Clear Alcohol, which has the extremely high alcohol content to it. Sometimes I like to mix it with a nice Diet Mountain Dew Code Red and stare directly into the sun. John, let's talk here for a second, bud. Let's talk. Let's get real here for a second. You are a legendary actor, comedian. My man, you've been doing it. You were born 1942. 42, my
75 years old.
Yeah.
75 years old, and you're doing it as much and as often and as active as
a man half your age.
A third your age are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
I was broke when I was a kid.
Gotcha.
So that tends to make you stay on the road.
You always feel like you got that financial fire at your ass?
Got to go and get that money.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, you know, get too into it, but maybe we... and I don't know how accurate these things are, but from time to time, we look up people's net worth because we're like, man, John's out there... banging the road. He's, you know, Baltimore. Yeah. He's here. He's there.
He's in a film. He's in a cartoon. Black Jesus. He's doing everything.
Like, oh, yeah.
And I go, I look up the net worth and I go, well, look at what this says.
He's living
well. It says a decent amount of money.
Yeah. Well, I was broke. So you got to try to.
So that's still in there. It's that is.
Oh, that fire.
Wow.
Get that money.
It said $8 million. That's what it said.
$8 million. But that, you know, that I don't have that now. You know, you got a house. I have house and cars. And
yeah.
Education for my kids. Yeah.
But you're not working because the tax man's chasing you.
No.
You're not working because you got 15 kids from 14 wives out there you're writing checks to.
I don't have child cares and all that stuff.
None of that. Yeah, you've heard dudes like...
I just want some money.
Like Willie Nelson.
I want some money.
I want that cash.
And you live a modest life or semi-extravagant?
I guess. I have a new Range Rover.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, there we go. Treat yourself. You're worth it.
I own about 4 or 5 homes.
Oh,
John Witherspoon.
Well, I'm
I love it,
my guy.
I work my butt off.
I know you do. You earned everything you got, man.
Got that polo team sponsorship by the look of it. That hat and shirt matching up.
But I like polo because you can it'll last forever.
Yeah.
When you own 4 or 5 homes, do you go to those homes often, do you like traveling the world?
No. I rent them out. I'm like a realtor.
Oh, okay. All right.
So those are businesses.
Businesses.
That's yeah. Business. You got that mailbox money showing up.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't do it. I have an accountant. They send the money to our accountant.
Yeah, you can't keep track of all that.
I can keep track of all that. You know, my light bulb is out.
You got right. Yeah. They're not calling you.
Put another light bulb
in. They're not calling you for that, right? Now, let me ask you this, because you're a man. You got 4 or 5 houses. You got a huge career. And then when you see all these celebrities and they're splattered all across the headlines for and then they end up looking like a jackass, but it says, oh, they owe $10 million in back taxes.
No, I don't owe any money.
Not you, but I'm saying when you see these other people, that like, and then you go, well, how stupid are you? Why didn't you pay your taxes? But when you get to a level where you have multiple houses and multiple incomes and you're working so much and you have somebody else handling your stuff, it's not really your fault. It's the people you hired's fault.
Well,
you got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, but I'm sure the people that they hired told them you are spending too much money. That's their job to tell you, keep you in check. And you got a house that's worth $20 million.
Yeah.
You know, they probably tell me you don't need a house then.
Well, who was the starlet we talked about a month ago? Was it like Mandy Moore or something that they had a financial advisor that they entrusted the way you probably mm-hmm. trust yours?
Right.
The next thing you know, a $5 million home renovation turned out to be $20. He made off with half of it, and they thought they trusted this cat, and all of a sudden a famous singer, songstress, actress is out of cash.
Yeah.
Because someone else's shady dealings.
Yep.
People rip you off. They rip off every day, you know. But I keep a check on my account, and I got them send me my statements every month. I send my wife over there. She gets in and check all the stuff out.
It's like P. Diddy said, checks. More money, more problems, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'd rather have more money, more problems.
Joined in the studio by John Witherspoon. You know him for Friday, Boondocks, Black Jesus. What's Black Jesus that you're working on? That's on Adult Swim?
A Cartoon Network Adult Swim. It's not a cartoon. It's actually live action. They're having live action shows now instead of cartoons.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. They got God, it was a great one. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell with Henry Sobrowski, where they take like live action actors, put all these great prosthetics. It's like The Office if it was set in hell.
Your pretty face
is going to hell is a work of art. And people obviously remember you from all the great Friday films. There's this hilarious meme going around right now that's showing a picture of Bill Cosby next to Ice Cube. And it said, if you showed this photo to someone 20 years ago and said, one of these guys was going to be starring in children's cartoons and the other would be accused of sexually assaulting over 30 to 40 women, who would you guess which one was which? And obviously, we saw how it all played out.
Yes.
Between everything that you've done with the Friday series and the Boondocks, things like that, is there anything you ever look back at and go, oh, I wish, you know, it wasn't worth the money?
Well, actually, I've taken every job that offered to me in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept working. So I don't have any regrets of anything I took because I needed to pay my rent and all that stuff. And I was broke, like I said. And so everything started coming to me. I just kept working.
What was your brokest? What was your, like,
I remember I went to Bank of America to get $20. You can't get but $20. I didn't have $7 in there. $7.50, something like that.
Wow.
So I couldn't take any money out of there.
They wouldn't even let you take your own $7.50 out.
Because I'd go buy me a chicken, at least a chicken.
Oh.
I mean, if football players eating so good, give me a chicken.
All I want is a chicken.
All I want is one rotisserie chicken from Giants.
Rotisserie chicken.
Well, give me the opposite of that. So that was the moment that you're like, man, I'm hitting bone right now. I got nothing left. But what was the moment that you finally were able to breathe a little bit? Like, wait a minute, I haven't seen that many zeros on a check yet.
Well, the third Friday, I made over $1 million.
Whoa.
And they're going to do a fourth Friday. The word is that.
Oh, really? Yeah,
they're
running back?
They're going to do a fourth Friday called Man Last Friday. Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually really get.
I thought the trilogy had ended.
No. Warner Brothers bought New Line Cinema.
Unanswered questions.
Yeah. So Cube told me when I saw him at the airport. He said they're going to do another Friday.
Oh, can I ask you a question about the Friday series? And obviously, everybody's fascinated with Q and Epps and Cube. Tiny, tiny Lister.
Mm.
That eye. Is that eye hard to look at?
Yeah.
Is that he played Debo?
He's funny.
He played Debo?
He plays that eye up. I love it.
He's got freaky, milky eye. I call it the gypsy eye.
Yeah.
Is it hard to be around?
No. He's such a nice fella.
He's one of the scariest looking people Earth.
He's not that way. Oh, he's just a nice fella.
Is he?
He'll crack up he'll look menacing and then he'll just bust out laughing.
Okay. All right. So is there anything that you've acted, you've been in movies and all this, you've even done like modern day animation, stuff like that. Is there anything you never got around to that you wish you had?
I've done about all of it. I mean, I like to do more commercials, but they have to pay me a lot of money since I got this status now.
I was going to say, what's the bang for the buck? Doing the commercials, you do like a one-day shoot and you make a big chunk, or is it
tons of money. You don't get residuals.
But right there, bang, bang. Like, you know who I see who, we're talking to John Witherspoon, Baltimore Comedy Factory all weekend long. I was watching TV and I swear to God, there was two or three commercials in a row that had this guy in it. And I'm like, man, talk about a guy, like I'm saying, they must be paying him so much money because he doesn't need the money. But it's like, heck, if you're going to pay me this, I'll do an effing commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal. The guy has
makes
the,
a lot of money.
He does the Icy Hot. He does
the general car insurance.
And what's the other one? Oh, Gold Bond. He does Gold Bond, Icy Hot, the General, and like maybe another one. The guy's got endorsements out the ass, and it's like he's got so much freaking money, but like you said, it's got to be so lucrative, these commercials, that you can't say no.
Well, you're doing something instead of
sitting around.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's on that show with Barkley and what's the name? The basketball show.
Yeah.
So he's doing that also. So you got to do something.
Oh, that's where you got
go
this
crazy.
This clip from.
I'm going to throw one of these chicken wings at your fat ass.
Okay. Yeah, that's, we enjoy the hell out of that.
And when do you have an end date? When do you stop?
You mean stop working?
Yeah, just
retire. I'm never going to retire.
Never?
George Burns lived to be 100 years old. He worked when he was 100.
How much do you work throughout the year?
I worked too much this year. I worked in and out of L.A. about 46 weeks.
Damn.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There's only 52, John.
There's only 52.
Come on.
That's why I can't do this anymore. I can't work.
Slow it down.
I'm slowing down.
Yeah, dude, cut it in half and you're still living
half
well.
A year.
There's got to be checks just showing up in your mailbox from residuals from stuff you've done.
I get all those
properties.
Yeah.
It's not like you've lived. Scott asked it earlier astutely. You're not living outside
your
means.
What's your wife say? Does your wife yell at you?
No, not really.
Sit your ass.
She knows this is John. This is what John does.
She's used to me. She lives in a pretty house.
I know she likes the house, but she probably likes having you not around.
Probably love it, the fact that I'm on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
I want another baby.
Yeah.
And shopping, does she shop a lot?
They all women shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
She go to Beverly Hills.
Tell me about it.
Neiman Marcus. Neiman Marcus, they go. She's in Beverly Hills.
Women
all the
be
time.
Shopping. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but I got to stop. It was absolutely too much this year.
Because I feel like if you work 26 weeks, I feel like you're making the same amount of money. Because if people aren't getting you as much as they did, they got to pay more to get you. You got to take yourself off the market, make them crave you some, and jack the price up to see you.
Well, my audiences are not that wealthy. So
Neither are ours.
They wouldn't come.
Right.
If the price was higher, they wouldn't come to see me.
I'll go see them with a Groupon.
Give them a coupon. Give them a coupon. Let them get in.
BaltimoreComedyFactory.com. Yeah. Excuse me, BaltimoreComedy.com. Baltimore Comedy Factory all weekend long. He is John Witherspoon Friday.
Thank you.
Boondocks, Black Jesus Cartoon Network. When can we see this Black Jesus?
We're going to start next year because of Charlie Murphy died. He was one of my co-stars.
Oh, wow.
So they had to rewrite all the scripts.
Whoa.
So we'll be back on the air next year.
All right. Well, check it out. Thank you, John.
Thank you for having me.